Irgendwie erkennt er den zweiten Monitor nicht. Irgendwie erkennt er den Monitor nicht. Wieso macht das jetzt nicht? Sollte. Das Einzige, was ich verbuchen kann, ist die Kiste eben booten. Ich versuche einen Reboot, ob er es dann erkennt.
Okay. Ich habe kurz ein Signal gerade drauf gehabt,
ah,
wo ich die Kiste noch gestartet habe.
Okay, sorry. Dann war ich jetzt.
Equipment viel zu heiß ist.
Ja.
Wir mussten gestern die Matrix, glaube ich, 10, 12 Mal am Tag neu starten.
Das Problem kenne ich. Es ist aller Hardware zu heiß. Ja. Auch die Smartphones sind Hitzemahnung und Co.
So.
Ah, okay. Danke. Was ist das jetzt? Ach. Okay. Sorry for being late. We had some problems with the monitor connection. So. Welcome to the last talk before lunch break. So I hope you can wait before the hangar is getting too high. And yeah, my name is Thorsten Kuckuck. Who does not know me? I'm the synthesis engineer at SUSE. I'm leading the future technology team. I'm now really long with SUSE and even have a longer history as open source developer, starting as GDPC developer. And today I want to speak about a topic I normally don't have on my radar, and this is building images. In this case, this MKOSI. So MKOSI is a Python project by the systemd developers. It means make operating system images, which they use for their own particle OS and their systemd CI initially. And yeah, it's lightweight, focused on developers, command line, and you can build all kind of images with it. So it's primarily maintained by the systemd project, but I had very good experience with feature requests or getting own patches accepted there. It tries to automate the creation of reproducible legacy-free operating system image, so exactly what systemd wants to do, get rid of this old 40-year-old Unix history where nobody knows anymore today why we have this limitation, because the last Unix system who was using this limitations died 30 years ago. So very important for me is rootless and loopless builds, which means you don't need to be root, you don't need loop devices or anything. You can really, as normal user, build your image, even label as with SE Linux policy. With the SE Linux policy, this is not loaded in the current running kernel. even if your kernel doesn't have a policy enabled at all, so that during the first boot, you don't need a SED Linux label step or anything. You just use it and good. So MKOSI is using a dual phase build versus final architecture step. In the first step, it creates a directory where everything gets installed and configured inside. And during this phase, there are many hooks where you can intercept with your own scripts to modify data or do something other. Oh. And in the second stage, they create the file system, the partitions, but then you cannot intercept anymore. So you have to do it before. It's a native multi-distro cross-building thing, as some people call it, which means if you are on any Ubuntu version, you can build any OpenSUSE Tumbleweed version with it without any modifications on Ubuntu, without the need to install anything, or except you need the MKOSI tool installed. And that's working with Ubuntu on Fedora, Fedora on OpenSUSE, so all variations. The configuration files are declarative init style, so would be known coming from the systemd project, and the provides more or less the same drop-in overrides, which is very handy if you want to share configurations between different projects. And the disk layout is a declarative using systemd repart. They don't have anything on. It's easy to use. Just clone the MKOSI project and call the wepper binary. That's all. And the, for me, important images they support are the sysx images. Dirk mentioned them already with Elemental. We use them today on Unified Core or Elemental and MicroS. UKE images, you combine kernel initrd, use the kernel images. We have them on Tumbleweed and MicroS already, but to my knowledge, so who in the room knows that we ship UKE images for Tumbleweed and MicroS? Nobody. I expected it. But later, more about why this is the case. And OS images for Tumbleweed and MicroS. And they can build many more kind of images, but that was not what I need. That I don't need that, so I didn't look at it. It's integrated in OBS fully, and you can build multiple sub-images on one project. So, not everything is great as usual. So, MKOSI is always using the blending edge dependencies of systemd and other tooling. So, if you want to use it on an older lib version or on /15 or /12, most likely you will not have any luck with it. So, on current Tumbleweed and MicroS, it works. It's, yeah. Distributed disparity, so it supports the Ubuntu, the Fedora, the OpenSUSE tools, so apt, DNF, and Zipper, but not all functionality of these tools, some better, others are not so good. But again, for Zipper, we made several pull requests to support the missing functionality. It got all quickly merged, so we had there very good experience there. So it only supports highly popular mainstream distributions that natively play nice with unpublished fan foods. And this later one is important because to be able to build as normal user without loop devices, without the need to become root in some kind of way, you need other ways to do that. Yeah, it's integrated in the OpenSUSE build service, so in UBS. It's done by mainly by the systemd maintainers. So the design they made is based on the requirements of for particular OS and systemd CI. On the one side, I'm really happy that they did all the work already in the past. On the other side, if you have a bigger, clearer picture and other images in mind, I would have done some things differently that would make our life easier today. But okay, that is how it is today. A very big problem is that MKOSI practically requires directories for anything non-trivial. But OBS is not able, does not handle, cannot handle directories. So it has one MKOC conf file, it has OBS CPIO archives, and then you need to somehow get it working. That makes it complicated because you cannot use one-to-one your setup you use on your local system in OBS, but also more later in details. This X images. So I had last year a long talk about this X images on macOS. There, well, it was 2 years ago, not sure. So if you learn more about it, watch the old talk. So this X images contain files and directories similar to regular operating system tree, but it only can contain files which are in /user or in /opt. Anything outside of these directories get ignored. So if you have an RPM which installs in var, fine. But on the system, the var files are not visible. Same for etc. They are just ignored and not visible. And this is because systemd sysx only mounts via the overlay file system opt and /user into the system, nothing else. Since we just mount via overlayfs the files into the system, there are no post transcripts or anything else you know from RPM. There is no support for temp files D if you want to create directories outside if the image get mounted. There are no users D support, so you cannot create your own users. And meanwhile, there is limited support to restart services. It's mostly coming from one of the CoreOS clones who needed that for restarting Kubernetes. And most important is all host files will be overwritten. So if your systemd sysx image ships an old vulnerable OpenSSL version and you mount this image, all software will use this old vulnerable OpenSSL and not the fixed one from the system. The main idea behind sysx images is that you can easily install debug utilities on your system, so like strace, VDP, traceroot, whatever you imagine, and which would else require a reboot of your system or whatever for debugging purposes. It was never designed as a new package format, and you also see that on the dependency, you have no fine granular dependencies like RPM has, where you can require a specific RPM, but you only have etc OS release as dependency. So you can require the OS, you can require the version of the OS, and there is an extra field, this X levels, which you can use, that was it. So very high level, not granular. So since the last time I hold a talk about this X images, we have full OBS support for them, which means we can build them in factory, we can release them via the normal pipeline, and with every snapshot, we also publish new sysx images, which we then can consume on macOS. That's already working since quite some time. It's fully integrated in our whole stack, including transactional update. So if you, with transactional update to the newest snapshot, transactional update will make sure that all installed sysx images are also updated to a version which is compatible. And if there is no compatible version, it will abort the update try and saying you need to fix it first. So building sysx images is you need at first a base images. And this is, in my cases, for macOS, the base pattern, not the container runtime. So everything in the base system is in the base image. We only use that for building. We don't publish it. And then we have several sub-images defined, so the debugger, GCC, Git. And there's even, meanwhile, RKE2, but I haven't tested that yet. And what MKOC is doing is it's taking the base image, it's taking the sysx sub-image and removes everything from the sysx image which is already in the base image. So if you want to make sure that you don't use the SSL from the system, make sure it's in the base image and then it will not end in the sysx image. So the alternative solution, what most people do is, or other distributions, create them in a script wrapped in an RPM. But then again, we have the problem, if I want to install the debug image to able to run debug amok running tool. I would need to reboot to install the RPM, and then the situation is gone. Coming to UKE images. UKE images are unified kernel images in a single executable. They can be booted directly from the UEFI firmware, so no need for any other bootloader. Or you can load them by a bootloader like systemd boot or anything else, even by Windows. So, and you don't need a configuration file, or you can add a little configuration for it for the bootloader. You always have the same image, and that was it. So the UKE image is a portable executable file, and it combined an UEFI boot stub, normally it's systemd stub, the kernel image, an initram.mf, and whatever you else need. There are several additional resources you can add. Read the manual pages from MKOC, then you know what you can do with it. So we have already UKE images. I think from Benny's team, somebody created them for testing as proof of concept. That's done via a script in the spec file of an RPM. So if you want to use this UKE, you have at first to install the RPM and then use the UKE. That's why most likely nobody really is interested in it. It's far complicated. So I want to build native UKEs with MKOC without wrapping them in an RPM or anything else. So in the Devil project, that works already. So I can build plain UKEs, which are even signed. But of course, only with the project key, not with the Microsoft key for secure boot. That's one problem. Then we build the initrd with MKOC. So MKOC can build initrds. There's also from Benny's team a proof of concept to replace Dracut with MKOC to build the initrds. I don't know what the current state is. If you meet Benny or his team, ask them. Maybe they can present it if they didn't have done it on the next conference here. So we build the initrd with MKOC out of the RPMs from Tumbleweed. We combine the kernel and the initrd with a systemd stub. So the final image is signed. So if you import the certificate in your UEFI firmware, you can use them even with secure boot. But as I said, it's not Microsoft certificate, so you need to import your own certificate. Or you can copy it on a bootable USB stick with trim in front of it, then secure boot with a Microsoft certificate will work. The big third group is OS images. So the first two things is nothing Kiwi can provide. That's why I mainly started to looking at MKOC. And when I played so much with MKOC, I also thought about what about if we would build OpenSUSE, Tumbleweed, or MicroS images with MKOC instead of Kiwi, and that's how this part then started. So one really nice thing is that MKOC is using systemd repart to create the initial image. So we do not only use it at the initial for the initial image, but also during the first boot process. So during the initial build, we only create an ESP partition that is fixed size. If you want to extend it, you need to use the XBoot loader extension for it. And we create a minimal root partition. And both is following the bootloader specification. So with a minimal root, you have a very small image in the beginning, and then you are very flexible if you go to the first boot, where you can then use system reboot to give several constraints to systemd repart, grow the root file system, that's the minimum size it should have, that is the maximum size it should have, or it should have so much percent of the remaining free space, and then create additional partitions in the free space. So on MicroS, we use it to move slash var from a butterf subvolume from the initial root file system to an own partition. Currently, since yesterday, we merged yesterday PR, we can copy the data from var from the subvolume to an own partition, modify etcf stub, and everything is working, except that we are still not able to delete the old data. This is where Danilo is working on next for my team. So in Tumbleweed, we create a home partition and a swap partition. Oh, I see I'm far too late. But the 5 minutes is without the interruption from Dirk taking longer. So yeah, we enhance system repart to native create butterf SR volumes with, for example, no data core flag set without the need to be root. And we had to adjust sdbootutil to work on directories before the image gets created. Normally, sdbootutil is looking for device names and everything, but this doesn't, is not existent here, so yeah. So systemd-repart has a strong opinion about how to mount partitions in a secure way. For example, now dev is set. So if you, like me, still want to use OSC build, better remove the now dev flag from the etcf stub, or somebody get OSC build fixed to work even with now dev mounted VATEM partitions. And another great thing is the config I use here to create home swap and the butterf swap volumes. You can modify what systemd repart should do from combustion. So I have one image, and normally it creates my home and swap on Tumbleweed, but sometimes I don't want that, then I just use a combustion file telling systemd repart, ignore the home config, only create the swap and increase the root file system. So many of this you can also do with Kiwi. The big problem I have with Kiwi is, or better, systemd repart. Systemd repart only modifies etcf stub entries which it did create itself. So in the first step, when we create the etcf stub with systemd repart, it marks them special. And that's the way why I can later replace the var subvolume in the etcf stub with the real partition. So if I don't use systemd repart in the first step, this step will fail. So an example layout for Tumbleweed is we have a mkosi file, we have a subdirectory mkimages, which has a configuration definition for the images. We have a generic part with all the post-install scripts or pre-finalize and things which are shared between Tumbleweed and MicroS. And then something identical but much smaller, mkosi Tumbleweed and also mkosi MicroOS. Yeah. So how does it work? MKOSI uses a strict isolation with user namespaces, and it installs everything in a directory. So because of the first part, we don't need to be root, and we don't need loop devices or anything else. We directly install the package into the staging directory, which is supported by all package managers, so we can use their features all. We minimize the payload with a double copy strategy. At first, filter, copy it and filter out everything metadata we don't want. And then in a second copy, copy it really to the real file system created. As I said, the disk layout is declarative using systemd repart. Now OBS and mkosi. So for OBS, you need a directory with a single mkosi conf file, and the rest needs to be packaged in OBS CPIO. Which means, normally, in the subdirectories, the mkosi files define which packages would belong to this image. But now they are hidden in the OBS CPIO file, and OBS is not able to see which RPMs it needs to provide to this build. So you need to maintain the list in the top directory mkosi conf file again, which contains all packages used on all sub-images. That's really error prone, a lot of work, and most times the reason why after changes it doesn't build anymore. So it would be really nice if we can find a way that OBS can pass all mkosi conf files and not only the one in the top level. Another thing is that the systemd developers implemented OBS support in the way that the top level mkosi file is only used for the package list, and then mkosi is called with the first mkosi conf file in depth one in the subdirectories. This is good to solve this problem, keeping it at your own, but bad because mkosigconf can be in any directory, it can be in anything, it does not need to be the one you want to use. So my current workaround is use mkosig.conf.d files, so split the mkosigconf files in this subdirectories which mkosig should not use as root point. Then it works in OBS2. So the sample layout then for Tumbleweed is we have the dummy mkosigconf, we have the generic OBS CPO with all combined, we have the images with the real mkosigconf, that's wrong, that should be OpenSUSE mkosig Tumbleweed, I think, egal. And yeah, the service file which reads that from Git. Examples on GitHub in the OpenSUSE project, we have a microsysext image where you can look at the configuration, everything, how to do it yourself. In my own space still, because it's still work in progress, are the mkosig images for Tumbleweed and MicroS, if you want to play with it. And as UKE image, I use it for my raw disk image installer. And yeah. So my raw disk image installer is something, work in progress, I used mainly, we had it in this morning already, how to install the raw disk images. So I wrote something as requirement. And yeah, it's mainly an UKE image running completely out of RAM. The big advantage is I can put it on my Windows ESP partition, I will boot it, and then it will override Windows everything with my own image. And it can also verify GPG signatures and the SR256 sum, even by downloading and piping it directly on disk. So normally you would need to download the image, do all the verifications, but if you run it out of a RAM disk and you have a big image on a small RAM machine, it will not work anymore. So we do it in the pipeline and yeah. So giving you some more time for questions. I made it a little bit faster. So are there any questions? None? Did I explain everything so good? Ah.
Hi. So I've been experimenting with MKOSI and like the whole sys update stack and everything myself with Tumbleweed. And I was wondering, especially regarding the unified kernel images, what benefits you see from using MKOSI for that instead of Dracut, which can also produce these UKI images?
So, as I said, in OBS, we have two ways to build UKI images. We have MKO native, it's MKOSI, or scripts wrapped in RPMs. But if you think about a raw disk installer, you don't want to install Linux to extract the RPM to get the installer to install your Linux. So you have a cycle there you cannot break. That's why I want to build native UKIs. We can publish native as UKI image and not wrapped in an RPM. And as of today, there is only MKOSI. I'm not aware of any other tool which is supported by OBS to build UKI images.
Okay, cool. And the other question I had was, have you seen the upstream work regarding systemd sysinstall? And have you considered rebasing your tool onto that as well? Systemd sysinstall for that who don't
know.
You
mean the raw disk image installer?
Yeah, exactly.
So there is a big difference between systemd systemd installer and my raw disk image installer. The raw disk image installer installs all kinds of raw disk images on every system. The systemd sysinstaller is running out of the image you want to install and is then copying somehow to disk. I haven't looked in deep in it. It might be interesting if you only want to install Tumbleweed or MicroS images. You get already a problem if you want to install /15 leap 16.0 images, because for this, the systemd version is already too old in this project. And so it's on my to-do list to look at it, if we can use something from it. But since it is really new and Leonard already made some changes, I'm pretty sure with systemd 6.1 Now, 2.6.2, the next systemd release, it will look already quite different. So currently, I would wait in which direction it's more going and then take a deeper look at systemd. Is this installed? If it is something we can leverage or make use of, or if it is not fitting with our use cases. So I think it's near, but I cannot see it with the light.
Yeah. So insofar you mentioned that like you can't use Kiwi to do the repart, to leverage repart. I mean, the way that repart knows it is that you basically mark the entry with an extra flag that tells it that it's from repart, and we can do the same thing if you want to do that. But the other bit I wanted to actually mention was the restriction about OBS only supporting a single file and not actually handling directories or multiple files correctly is actually a limitation that affects Kiwi as well, because we've had the ability to do hierarchical fragments and all that other stuff for going on 3-4 years, and it is literally not possible to use that pattern in when you're trying to build an image using Kiwi in the Open Build service, whereas because like this is actually the pattern that's used in Fedora for its Kiwi descriptions, and it would be very nice if this could be fixed.
I fully agree. And MKOZ and Kiwi are not the only tools. In the past, I had already several other tools.
Although
sometimes building containers or those would be much nicer if you could use the upstream configs directly in OBS and not always repackaging them that it fits with OBS. I fully agree.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah. Any more questions? There is still enough to eat for you later.
Have you considered some sort of filter or just basically a way for to import a Kiwi file?
Sorry, I didn't fully understand.
Have you thought of having a way to use a Kiwi file to define your MKOSI?
Do you mind looking at writing a converter, converting the Kiwi XML into MKOSI configs?
Yeah. So then it'll be a single source of...
No, I didn't look at it because the config is quite different and I'm not sure if it's really worth all the work. Yeah, it's not only about init style, but you also need to adjust the script, the disk, the config SR post script to the right things. You need to split up when to call it. You need to exchange all the partitioning information. Yeah, it's the same.
Time.
So the MKOSI maintainers will clearly not write such a converter. I don't need a converter. So if somebody has the time and is interested, he is free to write one, but I currently don't see that anybody will do that.
Yeah, so just to repeat so that the stream and recording has it is. I mean, like, some of the stuff about putting Kiwi to do Makuzi-type things, like, it's certainly possible. We've explored looking at repart from an upstream perspective. We kind of really want to have a repart backend to be able to do exactly all these things. There are some caveats. It doesn't produce nearly as many types as the traditional Kiwi stuff, but there are cases where it's valuable. And then really the rest of it comes down to, do we have enough time to figure all this crap out and put it together and get it done? I certainly would love to have a loopless way of doing images with Kiwi, but it's just, you know, there's a lot of other priorities to get to first. It's a long, long list.
So the people told me I should quit and time for lunch. If you have any further questions, I will stay here for lunch, clearly. I'm later here again on stage with my second talk, so there's enough possibilities to speak with me and ask me further questions or discuss ideas, if you have better ideas than I have. Okay, thank you.